Translation by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. O all-pervading Supreme Person, we are dull-minded and did not understand who You are. But now we understand that You are the Supreme Person, the Master of the entire universe, the unchanging and the original personality of Godhead. The demigods are infatuated with the modes of goodness. The Prajapatis with the mode of passion, and the Lord of Ghosts with the mode of ignorance. But You are the master of all these qualities. Purport. The word jada dhiya refers to intelligence like that of an animal. A person with such intelligence cannot understand the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Without being beaten, an animal cannot understand the purpose of man, or of a man. Similarly, those who are dull-minded cannot understand the Supreme Personality of Godhead. But when punished severely by the modes of material nature, they begin to understand Him. A Hindi poet has said, Dukha se sab hari bhaje, sukh se bhaje koi. Sukh se agar hari bhaje, dukh kathan se hai. When one is distressed, he goes to the church or temple to worship the Lord. But when opulent, he forgets the Lord. Therefore, punishment by the Lord through material nature is necessary in human society. For without it, men forget the supremacy of the Lord due to their dull, blunt intelligence.
Om Ajnana Timirandasya Jnananjana Salakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Sri Chaitanya Manobhistam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Swapadantikam Vandeham Sri Guru Sri Yuta Padakamalam Sri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Sri Rupam Sagrajatam Sagana Raghunathanvitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Sri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Sri Vishakhanvitamscha He Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dina Bandhu Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vanchakalpa Tarubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhyeva Cha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Siva Sadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare.
O O all-pervading Supreme Person, we are dull-minded and did not understand who you are. But now we understand that you are the Supreme Person, the master of the entire universe, the unchanging and the original personality of Godhead. The demigods are infatuated with the mode of goodness, the Prajapatis with the mode of passion, and the Lord of the ghosts with the mode of ignorance. But you are the master of all these qualities. Or you are the master of all these qualities. So we're going to kind of break up some aspects of the verse and also look into the purport, if that's all right with you. And then we can see what are the lessons we can learn from this verse and the purport and also from the previous verse. Okay? So here the term jadadhyaya is used. Jadadhyaya, and Prabhupada is translated as dull-minded. And really more or less in the purport, Prabhupada is expanding on this dull-mindedness of the living entities. The dull-mindedness of the conditioned living entities, the living entities within this material world. There's a similar word in Gujarati, maybe also in Hindi, right? And it's somewhat connected, the term jada, right? In Gujarati we have the term jada, which refers to an animal also, like Prabhupada said here. But also similar word is there, which probably was also connected with this, jada, right? Right, or jado, right? Thick, right? And in English we have we call someone thick-headed, right? So, jada, someone whose brain is quite filled up, someone who's thick-headed, right? Being thick-skinned is not so much of a problem, but being thick-headed, right, that could be a problem, right? And here, Prabhupada in the purport, he says the word jadadhyaya refers to the intelligence like that of an animal. A person with such intelligence cannot understand the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Without being beaten, an animal cannot understand the purpose of a man. We cannot understand the purpose of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. We are thinking that the desire of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, whatever the Supreme Lord is doing, is for his own, you know, glorification, to hold his position, you know, for his own sense gratification. Because we're so much absorbed in sense gratification. We have such a false ego and so on. We're the enjoyers, we're the supreme enjoyers, we're the controllers. So, Prabhupada is saying that without being beaten, an animal cannot understand the purpose of a man. So similarly, as human beings, we cannot also understand the purpose of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Similarly, those who are dull-minded cannot understand the Supreme Personality of Godhead, but when punished severely by the modes of nature, they begin to understand him. Right? So we need a little bit of beating. Right? Sometimes a lot of beating goes on. Right? Some of us are completely thick-headed. Right? That we still don't understand. We still don't want to surrender. Right? Sometimes we surrender a little bit, and then still we're holding back. Still we're holding back a lot. Right? And it may just require a little bit more of surrender for us to make nice progress. But we struggle with this. So material nature, even though we come into Krishna consciousness, material nature may be having an influence on us. Right? Because we're not surrendering. Right? We're not surrendering to the will of the Lord. We're not lining our desires to the Supreme Personality, desires of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. We're not allowing the Supreme Lord to use us as his instruments. Here it says that they begin to understand him, right, after being punished. So here, the Lord looks up onto the ocean, he's glancing at the ocean out of anger, right? And then the personality of the ocean appears. So, The personality ocean is a very powerful personality. Demigod, we're talking about demigods. And even demigods therefore find it difficult to understand the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Right? So what to speak of us? Lord Brahma, right, with his four heads, with his wife being Saraswati and Gayatri, right? Seeing in full all directions and so on. He finds it difficult to understand Krishna. Lord Indra, right, is also bewildered by Krishna. And here we have the personality of ocean. He also becomes bewildered by the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He is thinking this is an ordinary personality. And it's interesting, they begin to understand him. So we cannot completely understand the Supreme Personality of Godhead. We can, by the mercy of the Lord, we can understand him to some degree. We can begin to understand him. Or whatever is required for us to surrender unto the Supreme Personality of Godhead. We cannot understand the Supreme Personality of Godhead completely. And it's also said that even the Lord cannot understand himself. Right? Because his qualities are always expanding, he's unlimited, right, in his qualities. So Prabhupada was once asked, right, can Krishna create something very, very big that he cannot lift? And Prabhupada said, yes. Right? So then Prabhupada is pausing at this time, and in this pause, some of the people are wondering, some of the devotees are wondering, then that thing is bigger than Krishna? Is that more powerful than Krishna? And then Prabhupada, after a pause, he says, then he can lift it. Right? So sometimes Krishna, right, cannot understand his unlimitedness, his power. And in this particular case, Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur explains that Krishna forgot his power, Lord Ram specifically, Lord Ramachandra forgot his powers. How do we know this? If you read the previous verse, after reaching the beach, the Lord Ramachandra fasted for 3 days, awaiting the arrival of the ocean personified. Why does the Lord need to fast for 3 days? Right? He doesn't need to. So Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur explains that he forgot. He was so absorbed in his pastimes. He was so absorbed in his role that he forgot he's the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So he fasted for 3 days, and then, as he remembered his powers, he looked up onto the ocean in anger. And simply by his glance, right, the crocodiles, the sharks, the living entities within the ocean were agitated. They were feeling suffering. And the ocean itself stops its roar. The waves weren't beating. Right? It became still. Simply by his glance. He fasted for 3 days. This also tells us that if we want something, right, we want to achieve something, then we have to go through austerities. Right? We have to sacrifice, we have to go through the austerities in Krishna consciousness as well. Right? If we want to achieve something, we want to achieve the mercy of the Lord, we want to attract the mercy of the Lord. And here we have Lord Ramachandra teaching us, showing to us, even though he's the Supreme Lord, he's fasting for 3 days. Right? So then he can overcome the ocean, he can go to Lanka and defeat Ravan. In the verse, the demigods, or specifically the ocean personified, is making prayers, such as the master of the entire universe. Specifically the personification of the ocean was thinking that I thought I was the master. Right? Because I'm controlling such a vast ocean. Right? I have so many followers, I have so many living entities, right, that are taking shelter of me. Right? I'm 3/4 covering the whole of the earth. So I was thinking I am the master. So therefore he prays later, regretting, the master of the universe. You are the master of the universe, not me. I was thinking I was the master of the universe. And then he says the unchanging, the original personality of Godhead. Right? The demigods may change their position, right? But you are unchanging. And we may be masters for some time, in charge of certain things, but you are the supreme personality of Godhead. You are the original personality of Godhead. So it's very interesting how the demigods are making the prayers, or specifically the personification of the ocean. And then the personification of ocean continues. The demigods are infatuated with the mode of goodness, the Prajapatis with the mode of passion, and the lord of the ghost with the mode of ignorance. But you are the master of all these qualities. So why is the personification of ocean making this prayer? Because he is saying that you, the supreme personality of Godhead, I was under the modes, right? Therefore, I did not recognize you. Right? The demigods are under the modes. The Prajapatis are under the modes. Right? The ghosts are under the modes. I did not recognize you because I was under the modes. And you expressed your anger. But this anger that you're expressing is not under the modes. When we express some emotion, that's under the modes. That's due to our ignorance. But when you express your anger, right, this anger that you displayed is not under the modes. Therefore, he said, but you are the master of all these qualities. So how do we understand that the Lord, when he became angry, he glanced angrily at the ocean, that his anger was beyond the three modes? How do we understand that? So when the Lord is looking at the ocean in this way, he is angry not because of me. I am the supreme master. I am the supreme enjoyer. Right? There's a bigger purpose. Right? He's coming here to perform a certain role. He wants living entities to learn certain things from these pastimes. And ultimately, he wants to kill the demon Ravana. Right? So, he's not angry because, like we're angry. We're angry because we don't have something and we want to get that. Right? We're angry because we cannot enjoy. We're angry because we're limited in what we can do and limited what we can control. Right? But the Supreme Lord, he's here angry because there's a bigger purpose. He's thinking of the living entities. He's thinking of the devotees. Right? So therefore, the demigod, specifically the personification ocean, is saying that your anger is not ordinary, it's not under the modes. My dealings with you, that was under the modes. All of us are under the modes, but your anger is not under the modes. You are the master of all these qualities. We'll read the second part of the purport. And Prabhupada, in the second part of the purport, quotes this verse, Dukkha se sab hari bhaje, sukh se bhaje koi. Sukh se agar hari bhaje, dukha kathan se hai. So Prabhupada partly translates this Hindi phrase. When one is distressed, he goes to the church or to temple to worship the Lord. But when opulent, he forgets the Lord. The second part of this verse, sukh se agar hari bhaje, dukh kathan se hoy. So if one is worshipping the Supreme Lord in happiness, then dukh kathan se hoy. Then there won't be any chance of distress coming upon us. So if we worship the Lord in happiness and in distress, then there is no question of distress and suffering. Right? But generally, what do? Right? We worship, we take shelter of the Lord, we make prayers to the Lord when we're in distress. But we should be taking shelter of the Lord all the time. Then there is no chance of any distress. Prabhupada continues, therefore, punishment by the Lord through material nature is necessary in human society. For without it, men forget supremacy of the Lord due to their dull, blunt intelligence. Right? So here Prabhupada is giving reasons why, or a reason why we suffer. And reason is, Prabhupada is giving, is because we forget the supremacy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Just like even demigods, such as the personification of ocean, right, forgets the supremacy of the Lord, becomes caught up, right, in material things, in position, in power, in control, in enjoyment. So therefore, Lord arranges the material nature to punish us, to remember who is actually the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is the Supreme. So an important question arises at this point. I don't know if it does for all of you. Do we have to get punished through the material nature? Do we have to suffer? Do we have to go through all of those things to understand the Supreme Personality of Godhead, to understand His supremacy, and to attract His mercy, to achieve His mercy? Or are there any other ways? Isn't that an important question? Do we have to suffer? Shishirada Gokula Nanda ki, Shishi Sitaram Lakshman Hanuman ki, Shishi Gaur Nitai ki. This kind of punishment through material nature is like punishment of an animal, right? So do we have to go through that? Do we have to go through what we're going through right now? Or are there any other means by which we can understand the supremacy of the Lord and in this way avoid the suffering, avoid the agitation, and be peaceful, be happy, ever joyful, be ecstatic in our lives, and specifically in Krishna consciousness? And that's a big question. I'm in Krishna consciousness, but how comes I still feel that modes of material nature are impinging on me? Right? How comes I'm not experiencing the happiness? Right? It's better than where I was, but how come I am not experiencing this happiness? The ecstasies, the hair standing on end, the tears falling from the eyes, when we're chanting the names of God, the voice choking up. How comes I am not feeling this? Even though I'm taking up to Krishna consciousness. Right? What to speak of if I'm not taking up to Krishna consciousness? Right? Usually my hair stand on end, especially in the winter time. Right? When I come out of the shower. Or my throat chokes up, especially after a Sankirtan feast, right? Or a festival feast, yeah? And the tears are coming from my eyes when a devotee chastises me, right? Right? Or I don't get the position I want. I want to be the temple president, but Shruti Dharma Prabhu is there, and, it's so, right? I want to become the temple commander. I want to be a good madanga player, but it's not working. I don't have the hands, I don't have the skills, my wrists are not as flexible as Abhay Prabhu's wrists, like that. I didn't start young enough. I'm 60 years old. I want to play madanga, but I don't know if I can take it up. My memory is going. I don't have time to practice. Right. So all of these things. Right. How comes we're not experiencing the ecstasies? And all these things are happening, the hair standing on choke, but for wrong reasons, not for the right reasons. So therefore one question comes up before we answer this main, we'll look into this main question. Is the Supreme Personality of Godhead wrong? Are the acharyas wrong? Is this process wrong? Sometimes we doubt this. Right? But how can we doubt this? Because when we analyze, when we study the words of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, when we study the Bhagavad Gita, we understand especially through the purports of Srila Prabhupada, that Supreme Lord is actually out for our own good, right? And he's recommending certain instructions, certain things. He's giving this process for our own benefit. And he doesn't have any reason to give us something which is not good for us, to lie to us, right? The acharyas, they don't have motivation. They're not interested in personal sense gratification. They're not interested in position. They're not interested in enjoyment. So why would they? Why would they, right, give us something that's not working? Why would they give us something that's false? Right? When we hear from the acharyas, we hear of their extreme humility, right? They're expressing their disqualification. Right? So we understand that these acharyas are very, very honest, right? And they may be also experiencing, on one hand they're being humble, but on another hand they're also experiencing the ecstasies, the happiness in Krishna consciousness, right, that they sharing with us. And they've given up so many of the bad habits, the detrimental things in their life. So they must be experiencing something higher. Right? They must be experiencing something better. So the acharyas are promising to us that this is what can be achieved when we follow the process, right? When we read, when we chant, when we follow the program, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna, specifically in the Bhagavad Gita, and also in various places in Bhagavatam as well, right? Saying that it's possible, it's there, this is the process, this is how you should do, right? Krishna speaking in the Bhagavad Gita more or less again in the 11th canto, right, to Uddhava. Right? So, this process works, right? These feelings are possible to achieve. This is there, right? But we don't want to, and it's also clear to us that we don't want to experience we don't want to learn it through punishment, like an animal. Right? Is that clear? Do we want to learn it like that? We want to avoid it as much as possible, right? Through modes of material nature. Because material nature, right, she's merciless, right? She's merciless. She's doing a duty without compassion, right? A kick on the backside. Without compassion, slap on the face, right? So we definitely know we don't want to go learn it like this. And going through this will take a long, long time, right? It may take a few lifetimes. So then, what are the other ways in which we can understand the supremacy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead? Surrender, yes. So there are many, many ways, but we're going to come back and I'm going to throw it out to you afterwards. But let us see what the personification of ocean did, right, to attract the mercy of the Lord, to achieve the mercy of the Lord. Right? So we can learn by punishment or we can learn through mercy, yes, by love. So then the question is, how do we attract the mercy? How do we achieve the mercy of the devotees and the Supreme Personality of Godhead? Right? So that's a natural leading question. So let us see in the verses. We'll read the verses again. Is that all right? We don't want to divert too much away from the verses, right, and the purport. So let us see. And in this way, when we're repeating, we're going through, there are so many powerful lessons and important points that we can pull out. So, this is text 13, after reaching the beach, Lord Ramachandra fasted for 3 days, awaiting the arrival of the ocean personified. When the ocean did not come, the Lord exhibited his pastimes of anger. And simply by his glancing over the ocean, all living entities within it, including the crocodiles and sharks, were agitated by fear. Then the personified ocean fearfully approached Lord Ramachandra. taking all paraphernalia to worship him. So what did the ocean do? Right? He approached Lord Ramachandra out of fear, out of humility, that I made a mistake. I've been making mistakes for many, many lifetimes. Right? I made a mistake. So he approached the Supreme Lord out of fear, out of humility. And then he worships the Lord. Right? So we approach the Supreme Lord out of humility, out of fear. And we worship the Lord. Then, what does the personification of ocean do? Falling at the Lord's lotus feet, the personified ocean spoke as follows. So then, what did the ocean do? Paid obeisances to the Supreme Lord. Paid his dandavats. And Prabhupada would say, even if you don't feel like it, we still fall on the ground. Because, by the mercy of the Lord, by the mercy of the devotees, one day, we will understand. We will understand the supremacy of Srila Prabhupada. We will understand the supremacy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So, the personification of the Lord, sorry, a personification of the ocean, paid his obeisances. And he says he fell, right? Falling. Not just, stretching our hands or something like that. He fell, right? Dandavat, like the term dandavat, like a stick, he fell. Right? So like that. Sometimes we're so tired, deity greetings are happening after japa and everything. We're falling, right? We're falling at the lotus feet and we're taking this 5 minutes as time to kind of take rest. Right? Right? One devotee we had to wake up. Right? Some of us were thinking he's actually making prayers from within the heart, sincere prayers, and he's not aware of his, surroundings. But later on he revealed to us that he was actually sleeping. Right? So here the personification of the ocean is paying his obeisances. So we should pay our obeisances with sincerity, with humility, from the heart. Right? We do the prayers. Sometimes we don't even do the prayers. We're so lazy. Right? But we do the prayers. Right? And from the heart. What do these prayers mean? Who am I in front of? The personification of ocean spoke as follows. So then he offers his prayers. In one sense, we're seeing how we should greet the deities. We're learning how we should greet the deities. So the personification of ocean is making prayers. And what is the substance of the prayers? So what does he say? Text 14. O all-pervading supreme person, we are dull-minded and did not understand who you are. But now we understand that you are the Supreme Person, the master of the entire universe, the unchanging and the original personality of Godhead. So here, the personification of the ocean is begging for forgiveness. And what else is he doing? He's glorifying the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And he's expressing his inadequacies. Right? So, the prayers should include our inadequacies, our fallen condition, and it should include glorification of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The personification of the ocean continues. The demigods are infatuated with the mode of goodness, the Prajapatis with the mode of passion, and the Lord of the ghosts with the mode of ignorance, but you are the master of all these qualities. Right? So again, continue to express humility, right? And giving reasons why why I don't understand you. Right? And in one sense, please remove this ignorance from me. Please take me out from the influence of the modes. Right? So in one sense, it's an indirect asking for blessings. Indirect blessings. Right? The personification of the ocean continues, but we're not going to read the next verse. Right? There are many, many other things and the way he's making his prayers and so on. We will understand how to approach the Supreme Person. But that, we've got to wait until Monday. So these are some of the ways. At least we got four or five ways in which we can attract and achieve the mercy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Right? What were they? Can we list them before the end of class? Humility, worship of the Supreme Lord, paying obeisances. And within all those things, we're learning that there should be from the heart, sincerity, genuine, yes, glorification, right? And inadequacies, expressing our inadequacies and asking for blessings. Sometimes, as devotees, we should also feel a little bit shy. You know, going up to the Lord and can I have this and can I have that and, you know, like that. Let me sing Guru Puja nicely, right? Other devotees are listening. I want the devotees to feel I'm a good person, got a good voice and so on, right? So sometimes we make prayers like this, but maybe we can do it in an indirect way. We're learning from the personality of the ocean. How? He does it in an indirect way, very intelligently, right? Sometimes we're just so blunt and direct. And the Lord is saying, where is your culture? Lord, this is what the Lord is thinking. Where is your etiquette? You have no shame. Right? And here we're hearing how we're compared to the animals. Right? So, approaching the Lord in a very a nice way, very humble way. And also, you know, when we're asking for blessings and so on, being careful, right? How we ask them. So these are some of the things that we can, that are there. There are more things coming up, by which we can attract the mercy of the Lord, achieve the mercy of the Lord. There's one other thing that I was thinking of, which we can conclude on, and specifically from the last few words in the purport, Prabhupada, I'm reading the last sentence. Therefore, punishment by the Lord through material nature is necessary in human society. For without it, men forget the supremacy of the Lord due to their dull, blunt intelligence. Due to their dull, blunt intelligence. Because of our conditioning, because of our sense gratification, our senses have become blunt. Our intelligence has become dull. We've become thick-headed, right? We're thick, right? We're thick, right? I'm thick, right? I'm talking about myself. So then, I was thinking about, talking about blunt senses, intelligence, you know, like that. There's a verse in the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu by Rupa Goswami, right? Atashi Krishna Namadi Na Bhavet Griyam Indriya Sevan mukhe hi jivado swayam eva sprutyada. Atashi Krishna namadi. Right? Na bhavet kriyam indriya. So, the Lord's pastime, the Supreme Lord, His names, right, His qualities, these blunt senses, this blunt intelligence, cannot understand. We cannot understand. So then how is it possible, Rupa Goswami is answering this question, how is it possible to sharpen, right? To sharpen our senses, to sharpen our intelligence, right? To clear our intelligence. How do we become free from the conditioning? Right? Sevan mukhe hi jivado swayam eva sprutiyada. Sevan mukhe, mouth, jivado, right? Tongue, beginning with the tongue. Right? Swayam mukhe hi jivado swayam eva sprutiyada. Swayam, definitely. Through this, eva sputyada, you'll be able to understand. Right? You'll be able to understand the supremacy of the Lord. You'll be able to clear your intelligence. Right? You'll be able to access that happiness, right? That ecstasy that the Supreme Lord is promising, that the acharyas are promising. Right? And we don't have to go through the punishments of the material nature, right? In the material world. Right? Sevan mukhehi jivado. By the tongue, right? So, not by talking prajalpa, we use the tongue to talk prajalpa, I do that a lot, right? But tongue in tasting Krishna's prasad and in glorifying the Supreme Lord, just like the personification of ocean is doing. And the term glorification in Sanskrit is kirit or kirtan. So some of us, most of us, we may not be able to make prayers as good as the personification of the ocean, but we can do kirtan, right? And even that we struggle with, right? Repeating the names of God. Very simple, three words. But even that we struggle with. Right? But this is the recommendation. This is how we can begin. Kirtan. Right? And bringing our mind to hearing and chanting God's names. Right? And some of us, sometimes, most of the time, most of us, we even struggle with kirtan. Right? So then, prasadam. Prasadam. Or prasadam and kirtan together. If you're very much like me, then start with prasadam and just stick to prasadam long as you can until from within Krishna kind of makes some arrangement, right, that we begin to have some taste for kirtan, and then one day we can make prayers, you know, like the personification of the ocean, you know, like that. So, I'd like to end on this note. We're talking about prasadam. Unfortunately, or actually we have a senior devotee, she wants to ask a question. We can't say no to that, right? Should we take a question from the senior devotee? Otherwise we may not get prasadam.